As we continue our study in the book of Genesis, we're still in the 18th chapter. In our last lesson, we had gotten through the 22nd verse. The context for this passage is that Abraham has been visited by the two angels and the Lord. They have been given the hospitality of Abraham and Sarah, and they've confirmed again to Abraham and Sarah the fact that Sarah would bear a son next year, and that the promise was going to be fulfilled. But the second part of their mission was they were going to have to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains. So as the angels started toward Sodom, looked toward Sodom, Abraham walked along with them, and God let Abraham know that that was what their mission was. And so we have Abraham now interceding for these cities, interceding for Sodom. And so beginning with verse 23 of chapter 18, we'd like to read verses 23 through 33. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be forth me to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." And Abraham answered and said, "Behold now, I have taken on me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." And he spake unto him yet again and said, "Peradventure there be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there be 20 found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet. But this once, peradventure, 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. This passage is a very remarkable passage. It is the first intercessory prayer recorded in the Bible. It is a prayer for the sparing of Sodom. We should consider this to be an example of how we are to pray for others. This prayer came after God had spoken to Abraham. Today, God speaks to us by His Word, and His Word should cause us to want to pray and tell us what to pray about. Verse 23 says, Abraham drew near. Abraham drew near to God. He felt that God would hear him. He believed it was proper for him to approach God in prayer. Abraham must have thought to himself, "Shall Sodom be destroyed, and I not speak one word in its favor?" We must remember that when we pray, we're drawing near to God, and this is a time for solemn respect for God. Abraham's prayer was made on behalf of all the 5 cities of the plain. And it seems that Zoar was spared completely, being annihilated, since we read of it years later. Abraham was greatly displeased with the wickedness of those cities. He did not desire to live in that kind of environment, but he had a deep concern for the people. And though sin is to be hated and abhorred, yet sinners are to be pitied and prayed for. God does not delight in their punishment, nor should we desire bad things to happen to them. Abraham begins his prayer with a request that the righteous among them might be spared and not suffer the same punishment as the sinners would suffer. He no doubt had an eye to Lot and his family. He held no grudge against Lot, even though Lot took the first choice of the land. This was proven when Abraham rescued Lot from the kings by the sword, and is now attempting to rescue him by prayer. Abraham requests that all be spared if 50 righteous persons could be found, verse 24. God recognized this request by answering, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes," verse 26. We must pray not only for ourselves, but for others. This is a prayer of great faith. Abraham believes that God can agree to his petition. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Abraham prays that God not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Verse 23, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We must never classify God's righteous as being like the wicked. We give honor to the righteous. Romans 12:10 says, in honor, preferring one another. The righteous are mingled with the wicked in this world. Amongst the best there may be some bad, and amongst the worst, there may be some good. Even in Sodom, there was just Lot. Even though the righteous may necessarily be mixed with the wicked, surely God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Though in this world the righteous may suffer some of the same afflictions as the wicked, yet in the great day of the judgment, a distinction will be made. Verse 25 says that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Common calamities are looked upon differently by the righteous than they are by the wicked. Verse 25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God is the judge of all the earth. He gives his law to all, he sees all, and he will pass sentence upon all. God never did, nor ever will, do wrong to any of his creatures, either by withholding that which is right, or by requiring more than is right. In Job 34:10-12, therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. We should note here that Abraham recognized that God was not only the God that he had followed from Ur to Canaan, and who had promised to build a great nation through him, but that he was still the judge of all the earth. Abraham's concept of God was certainly not that of a tribal God, as many mistaken critics have taught. There is only one God, and this God is judge of all the earth, and God will do right. We see Abraham's great humility, even though he's talking with God. Verse 27, he says, behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Abraham seems to be amazed at his own boldness. He's speaking to the Lord, the greatest of all things, all beings, the Creator, the Master, the Judge of all the earth, but he, Abraham, is dust and ashes. The greatest of all men, the most honorable, the most deserving, the most praiseworthy, are but dust and ashes, lowly and vile before God, despicable, frail, and dying. Whenever we draw near unto God, it is appropriate for us to acknowledge the vast distance there is between us and God. He is the Lord of glory. We are the dust and ashes of the earth. The access we have to the throne of glory and grace and the freedom of speech we've been given to God are certainly matters we are struck in awe of. 2 Samuel 7:18, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Yet Abraham also shows an awful dread of God's anger. Verse 30, he says, oh, let not the Lord be angry. If we had to deal with a man who knew all about us like God does, we would be fearful of his anger. But we're dealing with God in our prayers and not man. And although he has great power and he abhors sin, he is not angry with the prayers of the righteous. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Yet Abraham could see that he was interceding with God to alter his plan for Sodom, and so he wanted to be very careful that he not provoke the Lord to anger and displeasure. But we also see here that Abraham, in addition to having this respect for God, had a feeling of love for his fellows. As bad as Sodom was, he thought there were several good people in it. It's a mark of high character when we look for the best in others. It is better for us to think good of the bad than for us to think bad of the good. Abraham used all of his influence with God to intercede for Sodom. We never find him using this much persuasion for himself or for his own family as he used here for Sodom. Abraham shows boldness and confidence in his opinion of Sodom, Abraham named the number. If there be 50 righteous people in Sodom, will you spare it? God agrees to spare it if 50 righteous are found. But Abraham keeps bartering with God. What if there are 5 less? What about 45? Will you destroy it for 45? God agrees that he'll spare it if there be 45 righteous. But Abraham does not stop. What if there are 40 righteous? God agrees, I'll not destroy it if 40 are found. Abraham continues, what if 30 righteous are found? God again agrees to spare it. If 30 righteous are found. But Abraham persists, what if 20 are found? God again agrees, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. But Abraham comes back one more time, what if 10 are found? God said, I'll not destroy it for 10's sake. So Abraham knew that there were at least 10 members of Lot's family. There was Lot's 2 married daughters and their husbands, and then his 2 unmarried daughters and his 2 sons, and he and his wife. So he felt at least there would be 10 righteous, not realizing that even some of Lot's own family would not be considered to be righteous. So verse 33 says, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Our communication with God in this world are not constant. God did not go away until Abraham had said all he wanted to say. God never wearies of hearing prayer. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. So the Bible says Abraham returned to his place. Not filled with pride for the favors granted by God, he returned to wait and see what the event would be. And it showed that his prayer was heard. Yet God was not spared because there were not 10 righteous in it. We learn to expect much from God and little from man. God did his part, but man didn't do his part. So that concludes chapter 18 of Genesis. We'd now like to move into chapter 19. And as we're ready to begin chapter 19, we'd like to note that the Apostle Peter comments on this 19th chapter. 2 Peter 2:6-8, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Before getting into this 19th chapter of Genesis, let's look at Lot's circumstance. The scene now shifts to Sodom itself.